This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to the Carnegie Museum of Art.
You are listening to WQED's Voice of the Arts podcast. I'm Emily Bruner, and today we have the Bayo String Quartet here. They just played live for us, and now we have Jason Newcomb and Sean Newcomb here to talk about their program. They're here to talk about February 27th at City Asylum. It's a free concert. So, guys, what are you guys playing?
Well, what we just played, Shostakovich's 8th String Quartet, will be what closes our program on the 27th. Of course, we'll play the entire piece. And this is sort of a mix of a lot of repertoire we have been traveling with in the last year, and in some cases a couple of years. So we'll be playing some of the fugues from Art of Fugue by J.S. Bach. We'll be playing a piece by Missy Mazzoli, Enthusiasm Strategies, which we've actually recorded before. And then a newer piece of Sean's that we, piloted this year called El Balcón. And I'll let him tell you a little bit about that. It's been really popular. We've just loved performing it. And then Mictlan is a single movement from a greater piece by Gabriela Ortiz. Mm. And that one, I won't give away too much, but there's some surprises with that one as well.
Ooh, fun. So, Sean, what is this new piece that you made?
Yeah, Jason and I, we grew up in North Dakota, but our mom is actually full-blooded Mexican and incredibly superstitious with some just amazing stories. That whole side of the family, you could write a movie about each one of their lives. But I remember one story she told Jason and I when we were just little kids, that she heard a sound from her room in Mexico City. So she went out onto her balcony to see what the sound was, and she actually fell off. And while she was holding on so she wouldn't go to the ground, she thought she couldn't hold on anymore. She felt something lift her and push her back up onto the balcony. And even though Jason and I aren't necessarily superstitious, I very much believe that she believed that that really physically happened, which I was really enthralled with. I just thought, wow, that would make a really great piece of music. And so about a year and a half ago, I wrote El Balcón for the four of us that involves different uses of the instruments and some singing and just in whatever way I could to make it very cinematic and tell the story and do it justice. And yeah, it's been received really well everywhere we go. Everyone wants to know if it's been recorded yet, which it has not. But we're excited to do the Pittsburgh premiere at City of Asylum.
Oh, that sounds so incredible. Okay. That's so cool. And how did you go about like creating it like sonically, because it's such an interesting story?
Yeah, this was actually the start of a really new creative process that I've been doing where I didn't write anything down. Mm. I sat with my viola and I just played until I had something that I was playing coming back to. Then I kind of started figuring that out. And then I sat with music and started writing it all out. And I just find some freedom that in this case to really be able to tell the story. And then work in some formal elements as needed. But yeah, it's very much, it's really in the pop idiom, but highly influenced by the classical training that I have.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, that sounds so cool. That's going to be really, really fun to hear. And you guys are closing with the Shostakovich, which you did play downstairs. Can you talk a little bit about that? That piece is so dramatic.
Yeah, really intense piece, really well known for good reason. There's a lot of, well, first off, it's very autobiographical for Mr. Shostakovich. A lot of his other pieces are quoted in there. Of course, the use of the DSCH motive, his initials that are in there. But more than that, it just speaks to anyone that hears it. I think a year and a half ago, we were in Colombia, the country, and we played it there. And I remember a group of gentlemen coming up afterwards and saying they'd not heard this piece ever before. And yet sitting there hearing it, it reminded them of the smells that they experienced during the Civil War that was happening there. And I've never been able to get that image or that story out of my head whenever we perform it, because what a visceral reaction to have a memory of a smell, which we all know is such a strong factor in pulling back a memory. And I just love, I think it's amazing that music can do that. And in this case, that when we play it for students, we play it because it's easily accessible emotionally, but we also then can talk about what is Dmitri Shostakovich doing. He found a way to bake in these very humanistic ideals and travesties through physical notes and how we play these instruments. And this comes out, and that is the lasting power of music. And what a great piece that to encapsulate that.
You guys just got back from a tour. How did that go?
Oh, great. We were in California, which we find ourselves there more and more lately. And it was really fun. It was really packed. And the one thing I thought was fun to mention is that we actually played a concert during the Super Bowl because place we were at, Gualala, it's called, right on the coast, really, really beautiful place. We were booked to play there actually about a year ago, and they had horrible storms. I think I heard they lost power for 10 days. So at the last minute, we had to cancel. And I think in the rush to reschedule, it was just overlooked that the concert would be on Super Bowl Sunday. And of course, to add to the funny, you know, hilarity of this as well, it's very close to San Francisco, who was, of course, playing. So luckily, we did have an audience there. Thank you, people, for showing up to that concert. We were expecting an empty house, but, you know, those things happen.
It was a great audience. In fact, I think we started after our first number. The first thing I said to the audience was, "So, any other events happening today?" And amidst some laughter, there was one gentleman who literally yelled, "Chamber music!" So I was like, "Okay, these guys are very involved, ready for this."
Definitely not the football people. They came for the music.
That's right.
That sounds so fun. And California, what a sunny place to be. So that'll be great.
Yes. Yeah. And then in a few days, we'll leave to Florida. So more sun.
More sun.
Of course, I think that's at a museum, so different than some of the stuff that we've just been playing. But
yeah. Will you play a different program in Florida then from this one?
Yes, it is a very different program. Unfortunately, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, we're often playing very different programs from night to night. The three of the programs we had last weekend did have a little overlap, but mostly were quite different. And then the program in Florida will be different than this one that we're doing here in Pittsburgh. And that's just how it goes.
That's just how it goes. How do you keep it all in your head? How do you keep it all straight?
I suppose a lot of practice, a lot of rehearsals.
A lot of rehearsals?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of things that you keep in rotation. Like, oh, we haven't pulled this out in a while. Let's practice it and do it for the next show.
Yeah, you know, ideally we start with, here is will be what we feature for this season. And we have a list of repertoire, and it seems manageable. It includes some new things, and it includes some things we've done in the past. But inevitably, what starts happening is people for those years start requesting other pieces. Either they've seen videos of ours, or maybe it's a piece they've been wanting to bring into their series for a while. And so it always ends up being, you know, added. Something that we intended to be in our repertoire for a year will often end up being in our repertoire for two, or actually for the Bach Art of Fugue, this will be third year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow, yeah, because you played that when you came here last, yeah. The Art okay. of the Fugue. Yeah, so it's That's been right. at least 2 years. That sounds great. And how do you describe your style of music? Because you kind of call your music genre bending.
Yeah, that's a term that gets foisted upon us a lot. And I word it that way because it's a little, it's like the word innovative that ceased to have any meaning because everything is innovative. I think the string quartet has such strong roots to canonical repertoire and canonical composers, but it also likewise has very strong roots to contemporary music. And a lot of times those can get separated. I think what we're really interested in is not separating them. Mm-hmm. And in fact, a lot of our albums, we call them classical concept albums, which is a way of getting around the fact that we purposely want to pair new works with old works because one informs the other. You have some of the techniques and the sounds that we discover in the new works inevitably influence the way we hear even Beethoven, what we might bring to that. But of course, the canonical works influence the composers in some way or another to have the new work. So it's the cycle that goes back and forth. And that's really how we think of anything that we play. It's not about when it was written or who it was written by. We're trying to dive in the same way, try to understand it the same way, and bring a specific level of playing regardless of the genre, and then find the stories that connect one piece to another piece that seems like it wouldn't be connected at all.
Mm. Mm. So very much taking polar opposites and being like, these definitely work together. Let's push them together.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of the time they do work. We don't have to even force it. It's just, oh, wow, I didn't think about this. This actually, they're really connected.
Well, that's really cool. And your music is really, really enthralling. I love listening to it. I listen to it a lot. Is there anything else we want to talk about for this concert? It's going to be free. There's a live stream. I think there's an open bar.
Yes, and the only other thing I'll say is just because I saw it on their website, you can get tickets, you can reserve your tickets on their website, and they do encourage people to reserve them, even though they are free. Mm. So I've sent a couple of people there. I've heard that it's easy to do, so that's great. I haven't done it myself, but and there's also, I believe, free live stream tickets, so if you're not able to attend, you can watch from the comfort of your home.
Wow, well, that'll be amazing. And are you guys coming back to Pittsburgh anytime soon?
Yes, we're trying to make more of an effort to play on our home turf.
Seems
like
your
we're
hometown.
Almost always, you know, playing elsewhere. But we're in the process of scheduling another concert in May, and it'll be a totally different program. Mm-hmm. But since we don't have a contract signed or anything yet, I'll save that for another time. But we will be back soon.
Good, because Pittsburgh loves your music and loves you guys.
Thanks.
So, good luck with your concert on February 27th.
Thank you.
This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to the Carnegie Museum of Art.